the ACC scheduling model that they announced today, starting in 2023. No more divisions. Two best teams, top two teams, go to the ACC championship game. Each team gets three primary partners that will cycle through those 4 years. And then you'll see everybody else twice in the 4 years. One at home, one away. It's the best model you can come up with as things have gotten unruly. And yes, Julia, you brought this up to Bubba Cunningham. The ACC does have to position itself in the best way possible to get multiple teams in whatever the expanded playoff model is going to look like. And we don't know when the expanded playoff is going to happen, but we do know one thing about Commissioner Jim Phillips. Everything that he is doing is angled for the college football playoff.
Well, this move gives away the game, though.
Yes.
Because they're acting like the alliance is going to protect the integrity of the players.
Oh, you can say all you want, but we know the real deal. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Phillips puts on my impression so far of the new commissioner, who's not so new anymore, is that football's going in two directions. All right. You got the SEC and the Big Ten that are looking at these things as giant entertainment entities and making a lot of money. And then you have those who are trying to hold on to how things were. Like, for instance, did you see who the Big 12, I think, is going to hire as their next commissioner? It's some, like, Roc Nation former exec, okay, right? Like, George Kliavkoff, who's the new commissioner of the Pac-12, has a
gambling
background from gambling, right?
Brett Yormark?
Yeah. So everybody's going in these different directions. The ACC seems to be the one of the conferences that's trying to hold on to the traditions that were. Bless them, but that's outward. Behind the scenes, I think we understand what they're trying to do, and that's position the ACC the best way that they can. And that's what this is going to do, theoretically, by getting rid of divisions and seeing what we saw in the pandemic season where Notre Dame was a part of it, and what do you know? They had two teams playing in the college football playoff. Now, you can come up with all the division plans you want or scheduling models you want, and Bubba Cunningham kind of references, and this is something that we didn't spend too much time on, but I want to. He says, you know, you can't schedule your way into the college football playoff necessarily in this particular model. And I'm thinking to myself, he's right. The way you get into the college football playoff is by being the team we decide ahead of time belongs in the conversation about the college football playoff.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about college football that people need to accept. And like NC State's going to be a prime example of this. We can sit here and talk about the possibility of NC State making the college football playoff. Pie in the sky, they make this happen. But I feel like they would have to have things break their way outside the ACC for it to truly happen, because it's not a name brand. They would be an outlier. They would look at their non-conference schedule. NC State could be Clemson with the same schedule and get in because it's Clemson. Alabama's going to get in with two losses because, well, they're Alabama. Ohio State will go ahead and change the rules
right
in the middle of a pandemic season to make them get in. It depends on the team. Remember, the Big 12
Cincinnati
years ago.
Now, Cincinnati got in last year.
But what had to happen for that to happen?
That is your point.
Don't go Kirk Herbstreit, okay? Like, storm had to happen.
Agree. A lot of teams had to lose down the stretch.
Yes.
The same thing's going to happen for NC State, because Cincinnati got in because the ACC didn't last year. If that was, you know, if that's Clemson or even Pitt or Wake with one loss, they probably get in.
But in a weird sort of way,
ACC didn't have one of those teams.
In a weird sort of way, it still proves my point, because even Clemson doesn't get the benefit of the doubt like a power. Clemson actually finished pretty damn strong, all things considered.
They did.
If they had a different name across their jersey, I bet you they probably would have gotten in.
Well, there was some Clemson fatigue last year.
But there's never Alabama fatigue. There's never Ohio State fatigue. But there's Clemson fatigue? What do we call it is?
Ohio State didn't get in the year they had the best team in the country after they won the national championship with Urban Meyer. They were absolutely the best team in the country. They had one loss. They didn't get in.
There's Dabo fatigue, not Clemson fatigue.
Yeah, it's one of the same.
I think they're different. I think there's a difference there. But we'll
but just to put a pin in this.
Yeah.
To Bubba's point, every team that has made the playoff has a marquee win outside of their own league on their resume.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's end of story. Cincinnati last year beat Notre Dame. That's how they got in. And you look each year, which teams are the ones that end up impressing that committee the most? They're the ones who have the best win out of their league. Clemson forever beat the SEC team on their schedule. So they've always earned their way in. Last year, they did not. You look at NC State's schedule this year, it's set up for them to have an outstanding season, but it's not set up for them to be a college football playoff team, because who are they going to impress with that? Not with that league schedule. The schedule they have out of the league, quite frankly, is going to be held against them. And I understand who's on the committee. I understand who's the head of committee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, to your point and to Bubba Cunningham's point, you have to schedule your way in. Cincinnati, yes, they needed a lot of breaks last year.
A ton of them. They
couldn't do it without that win over Notre Dame, though.
It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. If you miss anything from today's show, you can check it out on the Best of the OG podcast, Apple, Spotify, you name it, including that conversation with Bubba Cunningham. That'll be available in the Best of the OG. Also, check out A Brief History of Triangle Sports, brought to you by Copiers Plus. Check them out online at copiers-plus.com. Schedule your free print audit today. Brief History of Triangle Sports has been telling stories that you might know from a different perspective, or new stories that need to be revisited now that we're older. For instance, the recruitments of John Wall and Harrison Barnes here in the Triangle was in your head not that long ago, but it actually was, and so much has changed since 2009. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovius. Dennis Cox is producing today. Is this the Air Force One's instrumental? What is this?
Oh, get your roll on,
sir. Oh, get your roll on. Everybody get your roll on. Okay. Sorry.
Keep me stomping in you. Get your roll on.
I got him a little confused there. We'll play a little Pump It or Dump It. Look, sometimes the beats, you know, sometimes they get a little matchy-matchy. It is what it is. Chris Lee's in the WREL TV5 newsroom. What's
he
going
shaved.
On, man?
Yeah, Shade, when I just talked to Giglio about an hour and a half ago, I had a nice full goatee. I had my vacation goatee, but now, you know, because of television obligations, I had to cut it off.
Wait a minute.
Unfortunately.
Hold up. I'm confused. Did you tape something for TV today?
Mm-hmm.
With a goatee?
Yeah. It's more so for online, but
I see. Okay.
But Giglio's going to be on television.
I see.
Answering some of my questions. But if you look at the full video,
okay,
which will be posted to WRL Sports Fan, you will see a goatee on my face.
Because that could mess with some people. We're like, well, wait a minute, what is this?
Apparently,
were you ever into Star Trek, Chris?
No, but my dad was, so I probably watched some things.
So there was an episode, there was an original series episode called, I believe it was Mirror, Mirror, and they went into an alternate universe where you had evil Spock, right? And and you knew he was evil because he had a goatee. That's how. So, like, you might confuse him, like, wait a minute, are we in an alternate reality where this is evil Chris Lee, who's not optimistic about the Panthers? What is happening here?
You know what's funny about that? There is, if you watch that full video, it's going to be on WRL Sports Fan in just a few minutes. There was a take that Giglio had that he was a lot more optimistic than what I was when it came down to the ACC.
See, it's the goatee.
It's the goatee. Who knows?
It's the goatee. It's evil Chris Lee from an alternate universe. What do we got coming up on the Cinco Grande, man?
Yeah, so I just gave a little preview to it. So Giglio is giving us his takes on what's happening with the ACC and the new 3-5-5 format. What that's going to be like for the ACC financially down the road, all kinds of things we covered, why Duke is probably the only school doing the in-state, merry-go-round between all three of their three opponents that they'll see every year. So we talked about that. We'll also talk a little bit. I will like to say this. It is June, about to be July. So we will be talking about Kyrie Irving opting in in the Brooklyn Nets. So we'll use that Duke connection there. And then also later on today, we're going to have a package from Pat Welter. He is doing a story on NC State basketball and just some of the changes that they've had in the offseason and as they're looking forward as well. So that's what we'll be focusing on today.
Oh, no. What do you mean? Are you telling me that the ACC dropping the scheduling change news on June 28th wasn't a blessing from the sports gods?
Oh, man. It's a huge blessing. My God. I was talking about the other stuff. Like talking about under any other circumstance, I mean, we're not talking about Kyrie Irving, right?
Well, you know? It's funny you bring up Kyrie because I'm convinced that Kyrie Irving also understands it's summertime, and it's not so much the fact that he opted into the Brooklyn Nets. It's the process in which he opted in with the Brooklyn Nets, and now he's online beefing with Stephen A. Smith. I think Kyrie, whenever he decides to call it a basketball career, should join one of these wrestling outfits because he's really good at working a bit.
He's a heel manager.
Kyrie really is.
He's a heel manager in the making. Like, he really should be. He'd have, like, literally everybody hating him, and he'd sell the most tickets, for sure.
Yeah. If he doesn't that, man, missed opportunity. All right, man, we'll talk to you later.
All right, see you guys.
All right, it's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovies. It's funny what facial hair will do, man. Like, it can completely alter the look. My brother recently, bless him, he's been trying to grow a beard out.
And how old is he now?
He's 27.
Okay. That probably should be able to happen by now.
And yeah,
I couldn't grow a beard until I was probably like 25, 26.
Yeah, I pointed that out to him for the longest time when I said, hey, man, it's not quite there yet. And he's like, well, you know, not everybody can grow a beard. I'm like, no, I used to be patchy as hell back in the day. When I was in college, I actually had a bald chin strap. Like, I could not grow hair under the chin.
Lincoln?
It was weird. I had the neck. And then all of a sudden, there was this weird patch right under the chin, would not connect with the goatee. It was the strangest thing. Some people can't connect on the mustache, the beard. I mean, there's all sorts of issues. Sometimes they come out. So he's getting to the point where it's filling out a little bit more, and I guess he got frustrated or whatever. He shaved down to the mustache, and he looked so much like my dad. I told him, do not send me any more images until you fully shave it, because this is too eerie for me. He also sent a picture to my mom, and he got a screen grab of my mom's reaction. She gasped in how much he looked like my dad.
Oh.
Yes. Gasped.
That's funny.
Gasped. I tried to pull that off with my dad a couple of Halloweens ago because my dad kept all of his old Miami gear. So he's got like his old Vinny Testaverde Miami jersey, one of the script Miami hats that was orange. So I grew out my beard for a while, and then I shaved it down to a full, thick, luscious mustache. And I don't quite pull it off. I've kind of turned more into my mom in my old age. But I tried. I tried my best. But facial hair, hey man, it changes everything. Goatee. Evil. Me with a mustache, super creepy. Creepy.
Yes.
Yeah. The mustache is not meant for me.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. So, I couldn't tell you the last time I was clean shaven. Oof. Probably have to go back at some point. I think I messed up one time.
Yeah, recently, actually.
I mean, I had the full-on beard because of the playoffs, but I just trimmed it down. I didn't shave it off completely. But I did. No, I know.
Earlier in the pandemic.
I know what it was.
You were trimming. And
it was the tax shaver. No, it was the tax shaver.
Is that what it was?
I did it for the tax shaver bit.
ACC you tried to shave your beard with the tax shaver, and you got like not even to a sideburn.
My beard destroyed it. Actually, it ran through batteries twice.
Yes.
And then it got so filled up with whiskers, my Brillo pad whiskers, that it just didn't want to function anymore.
How many ACC network accoutrements can we bring to the kickoff just to see if we could sell them to the coaches?
Well,
we have the tape. We got the alien tape. I want to get the peeler.
The Irish potato peeler?
Yeah.
Oh, look, we got a few weeks before we go to ACC kickoff. There are a couple things that I know I have. What I would love to do is to take one of those wooden spurtles and
plenty of spurtles.
And get all the coaches to sign
them. Sign a spurtle?
I think we can do that. Okay. I've got the ID police.
Oh, where it's
like I would
names.
I would love to talk to an athletics director. I'm like, hey, next time you have a FOIA request, use the ID
police.
Let's just black things out, right?
Yeah.
No big deal.
This could come in handy.
The spurtle, the tack glasses, the tack shaver. I've got the binoculars, the night vision binoculars.
You know what you have is the face cover.
Oh, those were terrible.
The copper.
the copper fit face coverings.
They were brutal.
These were terrible.
The tape was good. The alien tape, I thought, was...
Oh, alien tape was money.
Yeah. We put the beer on the wall.
Yeah, we put a 12-pack of Old Tuffy on a brick wall with alien tape, and it actually held.
It
held.
Did the job.
And it was really, and we also did Edward 40 hands with Rand.
Right.
With the alien tape. And that was.
We definitely have to get the Irish peeler.
Okay.
There's no doubt.
I think,
and we need the guy there to give the hard sell.
Oh, well. Do you think that guy's actually Irish on the commercial? The ACC Network commercial?
No, it's an awful accent.
It's a terrible, terrible commercial that I'm shocked gets on the air, honestly.
Particularly since we tried to buy our own ACC Network commercial, and the cost was prohibitive.
Yeah, so, all right. There's a deeper conversation about the ACC Network and how the commercials get on that channel. And yes, at one point we did try to buy a commercial promoting the Best of the OG podcast. And yes, to buy an ad directly through the ACC Network was laughably expensive. Laughably expensive. Wasn't in our budget. Let's pump it. Or dump it. A couple things going on in the world of sports. We will throw it out there, and we will decide if it's something we're going to pump up or something that we want to dump. Kyrie Irving opting into the Brooklyn Nets after weeks worth of speculation that he was looking for some sort of sign and trade. Are you pumping it or dumping it that this was Kyrie's plan all along and he was just trolling, or did he truly want a sign and trade agreement with another team? And there were no teams that were interested in Kyrie Irving other than the Lakers.
I don't think anyone was legitimately interested in Kyrie Irving, but I will pump him re-signing with the Nets. I suggested this yesterday. His best chance at actually winning and maybe getting some more people in his corner in the court of public opinion is to actually follow through with Kevin Durant and actually have a full season together and see if they can win the damn thing, as opposed to these last 3 years where between injuries and vaccination status and just, quite frankly, this year, looking very old at age 30 already. So there are things to do there. I think his best rehabilitation project, for whatever he cares about it, is to go about his business with the Nets and win.
Are you pumping it or dumping it that John Wall could be a factor with the LA Clippers? John Wall and the Houston Rockets agreed to a buyout yesterday. It's going to allow the point guard to become an unrestricted free agent. He's expected to sign with the Clippers once free agency officially opens on Thursday, according to multiple reports. The Rockets are going to pay Wall all but approximately $6.5 million of his $47.4 million salary for the 2022-23 season. And that could roughly make up the financial difference by signing with the Clippers with their mid-level exemption. Now, Wall has not been playing very much. It's just, actually, at one point, forgot that John Wall was still even in the league.
John Wall has played 72 games since the start of the 2018-19 NBA season. That's four seasons, 72 games. Two of those seasons he didn't play at all. Last year was a little bit of an interesting one. He didn't want to play for the Rockets, and then the Rockets didn't want to hurt his value.
Yep.
You see how it ends up working out, and I will absolutely pump this. Go find me my Clippers sweatshirts. Get them back out
it's
of
back
the closet
on?
Because Kawhi Leonard's going to be back next year, and I will
actual
tell you,
playoff P.
I will tell, and we Paul George was outstanding this year. Yeah. I will tell you right now, there will be a ticket in my pocket that says Clippers for the NBA championship.
Yeah, Clippers are going to have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Marcus Morris, and a few others. So, yes, including John Wall.
John
so
Wall's not even going to start for them. It's going to be great. I loved that team, the original Kawhi team, where they had Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams off the bench. They had the best second unit in all of the NBA. Great shout-out to that team. I mean, that bankroll that year was unbelievable because of how awesome they were in the second quarter every single night.
Are you pumping it or dumping it? That Russell Westbrook is a ski mask all-star. This is a Bomani Jones term back in his local radio days. Guys who have just taken teams for all of their money and no actual return. Because according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be stuck with Russell Westbrook. He's going to exercise his $47.1 million option for the upcoming 2022-23 season. Westbrook's agent told Wojnarowski that they're planning to file the paperwork today. He has a Wednesday deadline for that option. He has not been good for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Not a good fit with the Lakers, but that money, the $47 million, is what he was worth when he signed the deal with the Rockets, I believe, is where he ended up signing that deal. So you got to pump this because this is how the NBA system works. It's not good for the Lakers, but what does Russell Westbrook owe these people?
He owes them nothing.
Nothing.
Yes.
You don't turn money down. I remember when Dwayne Wade turned down his option at the end of his career with Miami, thinking to myself, why are you doing that?
Thought he was going to get himself.
He ended up making it work with Cleveland and Chicago, mm-hmm. briefly with Cleveland with LeBron James. But Chicago ended up, he's from Chicago, ended up getting some money from them. But listen, if somebody owes you $47 million, guess what? You're not going, hey, no, really.
No, for serious.
No,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, come on.
Remember
now.
When Gordon Hayward did this and he opted out and everyone's like, this is nuts. But there were the Hornets, because you're not going to do that without knowing what the next step is. And quite frankly, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook, same boat. If you mm-hmm. turn that money down, who else wants you?
Nobody wants you. That's what we found out with Kyrie Irving. In the best case scenario, they could have done some sort of sign and trade with the Lakers. But there would have been so much to hash out with LeBron James that it didn't really seem like it was worth it. And then, yes, given Kyrie's level of reliability, nobody was going to want to sign him for a long-term max deal. It's as simple as that. Are we pumping it or dumping it that Freddie Freeman never wanted to leave the Braves? And we get further proof of this week with the World Series ring that he received and as emotional as he got.
Oh, man.
And
blubbering.
The fact that he just fired his sports representation. So here's Freddie Freeman earlier in the week coming back to Atlanta, getting his World Series ring, and he was incredibly emotional.
I think when you're a kid, all you dream about is making it to the big leagues. That's everyone's dream. And then you get to the big leagues, and then you just want to stay. And then when you're lucky and blessed enough to be able to stay, your whole mindset changes, and all you want to do is win. Because no kid thinks about a World Series, they just think about, I want to be in the big leagues, you know? And the only thing that matters is winning. And went through a lot of up and downs in my 12 years, and then we reached the pinnacle last year of winning it all. That ring is just not a ring to me.
So that was Freddie Freeman getting his World Series ring and being incredibly emotional. Buster Olney on ESPN.com today saying that Freeman indicated to some of his former teammates over the weekend that he was going to change agents, given his frustrations with how his free agency concluded back in March. Braves made a $135 million five-year deal that was still on the table the first days after the lockout ended. As ESPN reported back in March, the lead negotiator for this sports management team that he just fired and the head of baseball operations for the Braves presented two proposals on behalf of Freeman, significantly higher than the $135 million offer, and he gave the team an hour to respond. When the deadline passed, according to Buster Olney, both parties, the Braves and sports management, agreed that there were no offers on the table. The Braves, believing that the deadline meant that Freeman was about to conclude a deal with another team, like the Dodgers, quickly pivoted to make a blockbuster deal for Matt Olson from the Oakland Athletics and signed him to an eight-year, $168 million contract that effectively ended any chance for Freeman to return. It sounds like there was still a glimmer of hope if it was properly managed and Freeman would still be an Atlanta Brave. And I'm left with no conclusion. This should actually be the pump it or dump it question. Pump it or dump it. Jonathan Rand is not here this week
because
he's on an emotional retreat, knowing Freddie Freeman could still be an Atlanta Brave.
Yeah, you definitely have to pump that. It was really hard to watch because normally you see someone that emotional, like right in the moments after a championship or the mm-hmm. moments after leaving. It obviously hit him in a different kind of way. And, you know, to be able to win like the way that they did, to finally win at the end of his tenure there, it's kind of hard to wrap your brain around. You and I kind of have different thoughts about baseball and how it works.
Yes.
I believe in baseball, you should pay your players. I don't think you should have to go out and sign free agents. I understand certain teams, only a handful of teams can do that. I get that. But I absolutely believe if you have a homegrown player that you drafted and you developed, just like the NBA does, you should be able to go over the cap number. You should be able. There should be special arrangements that you can make to keep your own players. And I have no time for teams like the Marlins. I have no time for teams like the Rays. I have no time for other teams who suckle at the teat of the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers because they refuse to spend their own money as if the billionaire owner doesn't have the money. And you want to talk about the erosion of baseball. You hate my start time theory.
Yeah, I do.
You might really hate my shut up and open up your wallet theory.
Yeah, your start time theory is trash.
You hate that one with a burning passion.
I really do. The start times have nothing to do with it. You're just old and you want to go to sleep, and that's fine. I mean, if you could have it, you'd actually go to bed at 5 o'clock.
Me?
Yeah.
There are times where I get tired at 7:30. Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah.
You've told me at times, like, oh yeah, I was zonked out like around 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, like, Jeopardy is the late show, man. That's my mom likes to say.
Do you literally get home from doing the show and then you sit on the couch and then you just don't hear from you until 6 o'clock in the morning? Is that what happens sometimes?
I'm not gonna lie to you. That has happened.
Okay, so your start—that's just a you problem.
No,
that's a you problem.
No.